The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Aer Lingus customers will face disruption from June 26th as a work-to-rule by pilots has been announced. But what exactly does it mean for passengers? How long is it likely to last? The promise is indefinitely. I'm joined in studio by Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel and airport and safety and security expert, and on the line by Owen Curry, editor of Travel and Air magazine. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Morning, Pat.
Morning, Pat.
Now, we'll go to you, Kevin, first of all, to outline for us exactly what a work to rule means in the case of pilots.
There's a couple of definitions, and one is that you will follow official working rules and hours exactly in order to reduce the output and efficiency. It's a form of industrial action recognised as such. In the case of IALPA, they represent 700 of the 800 pilots working at the airline, and they won't work overtime or any other out-of-hours duties requested by the management. They'll only work to publish rosters, and they won't accept or work any amendments to those published rosters. And they won't log in to the Aer Lingus portal or the eCrew outside of working hours, and they won't take any phone calls. So your flexibility is gone there because, as you know, or maybe you do, I was on a roster for 20 and more years, military air traffic control and others, and a roster never suffers the first encounter with the enemy, so to speak, because you have to have flexibility true in any roster. So you must have people who are willing to work.
Okay, so how likely are these disruptions then to take place? I mean, if everybody turned up for their roster as scheduled, no disruption.
No, and it'll work well for the first number of days. This is due to start next Wednesday on the 26th, I understand. But things go wrong after when somebody has to go home for illness or they don't make it into work or there's some problem with the aircraft, wherever it might be. You don't have the flexibility that you absolutely need because aviation is 24/7. And when you lose that, things start to go wrong because you've got the wrong aircraft in the wrong airport with the wrong people at the wrong time. And then it begins to slip. Not so much at home, but certainly when you have one of the 131 destinations flown to by Aer Lingus, that's an awful lot of work.
And Aer Lingus is a hub as well.
Indeed, indeed. And we mustn't forget that because of the 40,000 passengers a day flown by Aer Lingus, 14,000 of these are transatlantic customers and the rest of them are on the short-haul services. So I hadn't realised the numbers were that quite high. They've been very successful because we have, of course, pre-clearance in Dublin and in Shannon. So that works very well.
Yeah. Now, I saw yesterday there were four transatlantic flights to and from cancelled.
That's unusual. I mean, the work rule action is not supposed to start for seven more days, so I can't explain why that happened. But it's a huge disruption to the North American, services. It also has a huge disruption effect on international airlines group. That's British Airways, Iberia and Vueling, part of which, you know, Aer Lingus is part of that organisation.
Now, people will inevitably, I think, be delayed by this action when there's a hole in a roster for whatever reason it occurs.
Indeed.
They will be delayed. What are the compensation offers under EU 261 which passengers may avail of?
Yes, indeed. It's quite a complex piece, but I'll try and abbreviate it if I can. If they notify you 14 days in advance of the cancellation of your flight, you don't get compensation. If your delay, as happened to me a couple of weeks ago, is less than 3 hours, you don't get compensation. But if it's outside of the airline control, you don't get compensation either. And that's one that is a problem.
So if it's weather, for example.
Weather, yes, you could do it. Or an airport closure, runway closure, or a strike, believe it or not, or air traffic control problems, or a bird strike on an aircraft, that's just technical damage, or, you know, in damaging aircraft, that kind of thing.
Okay, we go to Owen. Owen, you said that the other day to us that there has been a kind of a more general interpretation of the responsibility for strikes in some jurisdictions.
Good morning, Pat. Good morning, Kevin. You're absolutely right, Pat. EU 261 has been around since 2004 and the strike was sort of accepted as exceptional circumstances. Airlines aren't responsible if their trade union goes on strike. What we've seen in recent years, because it's loosely enough worded, lots of bits of EU 261 are loosely worded. And we've seen case law redefining it in the different 27 different jurisdictions. We actually saw 2 years ago where a wildcat strike, not sanctioned by the union, the airline was held responsible for compensation. This, IALPA knows this. Mark Tai said in one of his interviews, Aer Lingus know this, that what we're seeing probably with this strike, which sets, I'm not sure it's happened elsewhere. I think it may have happened in the Scandinavian SAS pilot strike 2 years ago. But we're seeing the weaponization of EU 261 as an extra pressure point that IALPA are bringing on Aer Lingus management.
Okay, now suppose there is an all-out strike and EU 261 kicks in for my holiday where I lose my accommodation, for example. I can't get there by hook or by crook. The airline doesn't get me there. So I lose maybe a grand on accommodation. What happens? Does EU 261 compensate me?
You have a set amount of compensation. EU 261 is not designed to compensate for the loss of your Taylor Swift ticket or your car or your hotel. It's designed to make sure that airlines don't mess consumers around. That's the way consumer legislation evolved in the European Union. So it's designed to penalise. It's specifically a penalty on the airline and some sort of compensation for passengers to make sure that things like meals are covered and all the short-term consequences of the strike. It goes, as Kevin alluded to quite well there, by the number of hours you're delayed. What you're referring to, Pat, though, is really important as well, because if you have flight disruption insurance, you should be covered by a strike. And flight disruption is not part of the Common or Garden travel insurance policy we all have for a year. That covers basic stuff like loss of baggage and stuff like that. It doesn't cost a lot more. It costs 7 or 8 euro more. But the key is, it's a little bit like phoning the insurance company when the flood warning comes in. If there's a strike warning in place, you're not going to get it for an Aer Lingus flight at this stage. Those who have it in place, that's where you're going to be looking for your car hire, your hotel.
Oh, okay, but some policies will cover you for that consequent loss, but the airline won't cover you for consequent loss.
No, an airline is not an insurer of last resort. And there's been a lot of people pushing on airlines and sort of saying, because I was delayed, I missed my match. What are you going to pay to compensate me? That's really not how consumer law stands at the present. But there has been, the EU 261 has made airlines sit up and be much more attentive of how they treat their passengers and their customers.
Well, now, if that would be the case, I'm going to give you an account from a listener who got in touch with the show about her disastrous experience with Aer Lingus over the weekend. She said, I was away from my birthday celebration. 10 of us went to Milan and had a brilliant weekend. We were due to fly out of Malpensa Airport around 10 p.m. on Sunday with Aer Lingus. At 4 p.m. on Sunday, we got a notification the flight is cancelled and they would be in touch. The exact text I got was, please be advised your flight is cancelled due to operational requirements. The clock started ticking and we started to panic as no one had got in touch with us. We all had work on Monday, families and kids to get back to. Some of the group are SNAs and they had to organise cover for Monday. We ended up having to ring Aer Lingus. We were all panicking. When we rang, they said there were lots of cancelled flights. There was no explanation given. They just said operational reasons. There were 10 of us, so we all had to split up to try to get home. We attempted to get home in a group of three and Aer Lingus said, we've got you a flight home via Amsterdam. So we thought, great. Then we get a call 20 minutes later. Sorry, that flight has now been cancelled. So the 10 of us had to try and get last minute accommodation on Sunday night. On Monday morning, they got three of us on a flight out of Milan, a British Airways flight to London, then a connection to Dublin. However, in Heathrow, we had to make our way from Terminal 5 to Terminal 2. With delays and the little time between flights, there was no way we were going to make that flight. The British Airlines staff were so kind to us, they told us we weren't going to make the flight, and then they liaised with Aer Lingus to get us on another flight. When we finally got back to Dublin, 24 hours after we were meant to be home, we get to the carousel and the bag doesn't come out. I burst out crying. The Aer Lingus staff were so unhelpful. The airport was full of abandoned bags sitting on carousels, loads just up against the walls. I rang them again the next morning and they were just giving the standard textbook phrases. I felt like they didn't care at all. On our way home, we met so many people who'd also been affected by cancelled Aer Lingus flights. We heard on Sunday there were lots of cancellations. Some of our group didn't get back until 1 or 2 in the morning, more than 24 hours later. We think, this is their suspicion, that it was a series of blue flu. The pilots aren't officially on strike, but we're ringing in sick. It was a massive weekend, a massive mess, and really put a damper on the weekend. I'm due to fly out on Friday with Aer Lingus. My dad's 80th birthday, my 50th birthday. We've a load of family heading out, but I'm losing sleep over what's going to happen. I'm a nervous wreck because of my experience with Aer Lingus. Do we know, is it a case of blue flu? Now, Kevin, you were in the airport. Pat, on, yeah, sorry, yeah, you go ahead. Really,
Yeah, this is really important. I mean, I think it has been said publicly by Aer Lingus, I'm not giving any way secrets. The number of people calling in sick has increased in recent weeks. It may be a sort of a softening up process, but you can never absolutely, say for certain that cancellations caused by crew pulling off at short notice is part of the industrial action. We remember in the security, when the security queues were very long at Dublin Airport, a lot of people called off sick one Sunday morning after it became clear that the newly trained staff wouldn't be given the security clearance in time to start, and it caused a massive news event that made the lead on the papers that day. So we don't know. IALPA will always say this is just incidental, and it's very difficult in a public forum to say that the number of sicknesses has increased, but that is Aer Lingus has publicly said that
no,
already.
No, in fairness, and we have to try to be fair here, there is a lot of COVID about, which has been described as like the common cold on steroids.
My wife was in Tala Hospital. It was locked down very suddenly 2 days ago. This COVID is back and it's still around, and it does cause massive knock-on effects. There's another important thing out of your text, though. It is the high, and it's relevant to what's going to happen next Wednesday. It's high season. Everybody's travelling. There are not spare aircraft. It's not January when there'll be six aircraft waiting to take over when a plane goes tech. I was in Dallas, missed an inbound connection. A flight arrived late. I missed my connection last weekend. I was told initially I would have to wait till Wednesday to get home. Aircraft are in high demand. Crew are in high demand. There isn't the sort of flexibility that the aviation industry needs to move, because so many people are moving in summer. And that is the pressure point that IALPA have chosen. They know that withdrawing flexibility, radio stations need flexibility, aviation needs flexibility to operate. And by imposing zero flexibility, a work to rule is like something out of Reeling in the Years when, we've covered industrial relations before the WRC Labour Court. It's not a phrase that gets used very much now. It means that we're going to do something disruptive, but neither the airline nor the union can announce in advance how disruptive that is going to be, and that contributes to the fear factor among passengers, which is such a key element in this dispute.
And the equation that Aer Lingus wrestle with is how much money are we going to lose in forward booking, in compensation and so on, compared to what it might cost us to sort out the pilots. Now, Kevin, you were in Dublin Airport on Sunday.
I was, a place I don't go normally on Sundays. I was there at 5:20 in the morning, and I was on the Aer Lingus side of T2, and I was amazed by the crowds. It was literally like a football match. I have never seen as many people. I took a photograph, it was so unusual like that, and I know how airports are not designed for, they're designed for 105% or more, you see, but they could have done with more people because there was confusion. You had 15 minutes wait to actually tag your bag because you've checked in online, and you waited 25 minutes more than to drop the bag. Now that is going to be putting
That's
pressure
crazy.
On people. It was, and there was a last minute place on the right hand side, gate 50 or desk 56 if you had a problem, and there were people weeping down there and asking then the DAA staff, and the DAA staff said, I don't work for the airline, please sort it out. I saw two Aer Lingus ladies walking up and down. Now they needed more staff, in my opinion, as an airport planner on last Sunday morning. So maybe they don't have them, maybe they can't get them, as Owen has said, right. But there's pressure on people, and the idea of getting to a destination and not getting back is the worst thing of all, I think.
Yeah. Now I want to throw some questions and comments from our listeners. What are the pay levels in other airlines? Are Aer Lingus underpaying compared to others? Owen?
Yeah, they're not underpaying compared with others. The reality is, in every single international industry, as aviation is, pilots will look to the gold standard, the highest paid.
Okay, and talking to Michael O'Leary on the programme, he said that they don't anticipate a knock-on problem for themselves because they have already put in place multi-year deals with their pilots, and the pilots know what they're going to be earning. And
this is important as well, because the structures of pay in Aer Lingus are inherited from big strikes, 1985, 2002, all those famous iconic events in industrial relations aviation history. And there are 26 different pay levels. The whole series of allowances is dizzying. It's a Rubik's cube of different pay levels, grades.
That's why we've had such trading of figures in recent days on the airwaves. You know, there are about 200 of those pilots are over 200,000 a year. My experience of Aer Lingus is they tend to give the cost of the overall package, not the pay home. And my experience of IALPA is they tend to pick the entry level and put that forward as the pay grade. Yeah. But it's a dizzying series. And to answer your question, are they better paid elsewhere? There are pilots with better deals and unions with better deals across Europe, but Aer Lingus are not badly paid by international standards. And we've seen, for instance, Scandinavian chasing the top of the market. And they did so very effectively that Dublin's Stockholm flight was cancelled several times during that summer 2022. But the damage to the airline path was so intense that they went into Chapter 11 and are now being effectively taken over by Air France.
Okay, now more of the comments and questions. So by doing a work to rule, there'll be no disruption to the pilots or their pay. Great for them, bad for us, the public. Another one from Kieran in Cork. I fly a lot, but I'm totally behind the strike. I never understood why people complain that a strike disrupts everything. That's the point of a strike. If they don't disrupt, then strikes are a pointless exercise. Aer Lingus make huge profits. We should always support the working man and woman. That's from Kieran in Cork. I think Kira Kelly, I can quote her from Breakfast. She says that the pilots are paid like Google, but they're speaking like James Larkin, which I thought was a pithy way to put it. Flights have been cancelled for the last few weeks. It's a lack of pilots. There's no industrial action ongoing yet. And six flights were cancelled 2 days ago. Today, JFK cancelled, no industrial action. Aer Lingus relies on pilots working their days off, changing shifts at short notice. They simply don't have enough pilots and they cannot recruit due to the low starting salary. Another one says, we're going on a cruise. How does that work out if we miss our connection? That's from Mary. Your insurance will have to kick in, but EU261 will not. What happens if you have a non-refundable cruise booked and your flight is cancelled? We booked with Aer Lingus as we thought them to be the most reliable airline at the time. The same answer. I came from London on Sunday night with Aer Lingus. People stood at belt 3 for their bags as designated on the screen. Some of them got them, but many didn't. After a long period of time, people spotted bags on neighbouring belt 6, which was stationary. Lo and behold, the people's bags were on that one. No wonder bags get lost. Do Aer Lingus handle their own bags?
Yes,
they do. Yeah. Okay, yes. So that's an Aer Lingus problem. On Sunday, we got a text saying flight delayed from Faro to Cork. They said there were vouchers applied to our boarding passes of €8 each for myself, my wife and two kids, but the voucher was for a cafe in Cork. We were delayed for 4 hours. I applied for compensation and I'm waiting to hear back. This is going to be messy.
It is. Can I give you, just to finish up the compensation levels, Pat, because people ask me, I get emails and stuff about this kind of thing. What do I get if my flight is less than 1,500 kilometres in the European Union? You're going to get 250 per head, which is what it's been for more than 10 years, I think. If you go more than 1,500 in the EU or between 1,500 and 3,000 kilometres outside the EU, you get 400 euros per head. And the max at the moment, I think, is 600, and that's for a non-EU flight for 3,500 kilometres. So they're not generous and they're not supposed to, you know, recompense you for your hotel. If you're stuck, they're supposed to give you meals, refreshments. You can have two emails or phone calls, which always reminded me of prisoners in jail, you know. Who does that nowadays? Reasonable hotel accommodation for one night or more, and reasonable transport to and from the airport and the hotel. Now, I know one of my pals is stuck in Bilbao. The aircraft is Aer Lingus. It broke last night and they think they might be home by tomorrow. So two nights in a hotel, the spare part normally would be flown down immediately. It doesn't appear to be the case. Maybe they can't do it now. So there is an Aer Lingus aircraft.
So they have to provide accommodation of a reasonable quality.
But you might have to find it yourself depending on where you are and what time of the night and that kind of thing. So I can see, you know, that's why people, for example, have to sleep in the terminals, because they literally cannot find if two or three aircraft are stuck in the same place at the same time. But it's not generous. It never was intended to be a replacement for quality holiday insurance and that kind of thing.
All right, final words from you then, Owen. How do you see this unfolding?
I see them continuing to rattle Aer Lingus for a little while. You don't go to all that trouble, reject the arbitration, go through WRC, LRC, and then do your ballot to give it away too cheaply at the end. I expect a deal to be done. I expect it to be later rather than sooner. I don't expect a full strike, but I do expect all those pressure points to expect. I would expect the first round of talks to break down and back into WRC, and I hope the resolution will come out of the WRC. Unions and management don't like going to the Labour Court, because when it goes to the three independent arbitrators, both sides can get a solution that makes them equally grumpy. And we know the IALP has already rejected the arbitration.
Okay, a couple of quick things. What happens with cabin crew and ground staff? Do they stay at home without pay if the pilots strike? Kevin,
that's a good question. I don't actually know, but it's going to have a huge knock-on effect on tourism and everybody supports that.
If you want me to come in.
Yeah, please, Kevin. Yeah.
Okay, they're still under contract to Aer Lingus, so they're not penalised by pilots going on strike or not being able to operate an aircraft. And this is where the work to rule will make the transatlantic very vulnerable, particularly those frequencies which only have 4 weekly out of Aer Lingus. They're the ones that are most vulnerable to pilots not being able to be flexible and continue operations.
And those rosters that are laid down, presumably they're laid down some weeks in advance. So therefore, yes. If they have tried to cancel flights to divert pilots to other situations because of a work to rule, they can't do that. The roster is the roster is the roster.
And it's cast in stone and it suffers, yes, as a result.
All right.
And the creative rostering is very important. There's also the option for Aer Lingus to call on Iberia and BA to come in at short notice. I'd imagine they're the sort of negotiations Aer Lingus will be doing over the next few days. That they can call it within. It's no longer what it was in the noughties when we had Willie Walsh and Evan Cullen up against each other. It is a bigger group, and Aer Lingus have a little bit more flexibility than they would have had without IAG.
All right, on that note, we'll leave it there. I'm sure we'll hear a lot more about cancel flights and the like over the coming days. Owen Corry, editor of Travel and Air magazine at Travel Extra, thank you. And Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel, airport safety and security expert, thank you both for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.